Pizza City is brought to you by Grande Cheese. Any pizza maker will tell you, besides the crust, the cheese is the most important part of the pie. So why not use the best? Grande was founded in 1941 by Filippo Candela. He had moved to Wisconsin from Italy to pursue his passion for cheesemaking. He named the company Grande because it's the Italian word for greatness. Grande secures milk from local dedicated family farms. They work closely with them to help them monitor cow health and milk quality. Plus, their cheeses are all natural. That means their mozzarella has only four ingredients: pasteurized milk, cheese culture, salt, and enzymes. They produce a full line of Italian cheeses, not only part skim and whole milk mozz, but also ricotta, provolone, parmesan, and romano, sold as loaves, shreds, dices, and slices. Robert Garvey is the owner and pizzaiolo at Robert's Pizza and Dough Company in Chicago. Named recently as one of the top 50 pizzerias in the world, he goes through thousands of balls of mozzarella every week.
It's very creamy, touch of salt to it, it's got a nice flavor to it. It's the kind of cheese you can eat plain. It also complements all of my ingredients, it goes really well with my sauce. And what I really like about it is it melts well. I like the way it looks on the pizza, and I can tell if it's not grande just by looking at the pizza and how it melts.
So use the cheese the best pizza makers use. Request a sample at grandecheese.com or give them a call at 1-800-8-GRANDE. That's 1-800-8-G-R-A-N-D-E. Your pies will never look and taste so good.
The dough is like one of the most important parts of it, so let it shine. I just don't want it to be the vessel that carries the meat, the sauce, the cheese. It should have a flavor, it should have an identity, and having that weedy undertone to it, that nuttiness like you talked about, I think that was when we went, aha.
Two chefs and business partners who've been working together for 24 years decide during the pandemic they needed to figure out pizza. Not just one style, but two. And this in a city, Calgary, where there isn't exactly a thriving pizza scene. The story behind Connie and John's pizza, straight ahead, eh?
Straight fried pepperoni.
I need a deep dish pepperoni and a thin sausage to go.
Can I get two cheesivores and one Detroit?
Can I get one large pep, one large sausage, and one large pep special?
This is Pizza City, the podcast dedicated to the art, craft, and passion behind the world's greatest pizzas. I'm Steve Dolinsky, author of Pizza City USA, the ultimate Chicago pizza guide, and founder of Pizza City Tours and Pizza City Fest. Welcome, everybody. Great to have you along with us for another edition of Pizza City. As I mentioned on our last show, I was in Calgary for the annual Terroir Symposium. I was one of the presenters there, did a pizza pop-up with Derek Tung from Pauly G's Logan Square, and a lot of other activities, but kind of like a welcome conference meets the Aspen Food and Wine Trade Program. It's over the course of 3 days. Naturally, there's some time to do a little exploring, and I had met Connie D'Souza and her business partner, John Jackson, about a decade ago in Toronto at the same conference. The two chefs worked together in San Francisco, and since both are Canadians, eventually moved back to open Char Cut in Calgary. They've also got Char Bar there, and more recently, Connie and John's Pizza, which is a takeout-only operation, though you can sometimes eat upstairs from Char Bar if there's some seating open, as we did. They are two of the most visible chefs in the city, if not the country, doing TV shows and competitions, but they've really taken a deep dive into pizza, and so I tried both their New York style as well as their Detroit, and made an appointment to see them build one of those Detroits in their kitchen above Char Cut one afternoon. And we began talking about their earliest pizza memories, and naturally, ladies first.
So I can't remember how old I was, but my dad loves a very meat-centric pizza. And there was a Greek pizzeria just up the street from where we lived called Neighbor's Pizza. And we ordered from there religiously. My mom hated it. I loved it because I'm very meat-centric, as you know, just like my dad. But Greek-style pizza in Canada is also called, funny enough, Regina-style pizza from Saskatchewan, where John grew up.
So how would you describe that pizza? What did it look like? Was it thin, thick? wedges, squares?
So it was probably about a 12-inch round, really thick crust, tons of layers of deli meat on there. So we're talking like, I would say probably like an inch of deli meat. Sauce first, then the meat, and then a ton of cheese on top. And it was a combination of likely cheddar and mozzarella. Super ooey gooey. Like when you bite into the pizza, the toppings pretty much just slide off because there's so much of them, but it's very delicious.
And I've just noticed as I'm talking to you, you're wearing a beautiful pizza earring, which is so apropos. I'm gonna get a picture of that too. John, what's your earliest pizza memory?
Well, I think my earliest pizza memory would be me making pizza. I grew up with a single parent, my mom, that raised us, and she was going to university, and we didn't have any disposable income to be able to get takeout. But I mean, I've had pizza at friends' places, birthdays, and I asked my mom to make pizza. She said, or to buy a pizza, she said no. So I decided to figure out how to make one. But I was 9, and I made the dough. I remember it being super dry and crumbly. Everyone pretended to really enjoy the pizza that I made, but there was definitely some flaws.
So where did the two of you begin to appreciate and love pizza as professionals? So obviously you do different things, and you're known for breaking down whole animals, and we're Char Cut, which is this fantastic restaurant in Calgary we've heard lots about. But tell me about the pizza journey for you guys.
Pizza journey started a few years before our horrible pandemic that crushed our businesses. We were going to be actually opening up a pizza restaurant that we were concepting in 2023, which is now. But when we closed all of our restaurants, we closed our large one that you're at last night, Char Bar, we had to lay off all our staff. We wanted to figure out a way to reactivate that space. And Connie and I said, well, let's figure out a way to fast forward or plan to open a pizza restaurant, since we had no takeout business. We were a full service restaurant group, and we didn't have that revenue outlet. So
we have a walk-up takeout window at Char Bar, and it's branded for another concept that we have called Alley Burger, which used to be a food truck, but now it's a walk-up takeout window. And we decided to make up pizza by the slice and offer it out the window, middle of the pandemic. We actually got in trouble because people were standing too close together. So we were out there spray painting circles on the ground to make sure that people were far enough apart. But we sold out the first one.
This was like a New York style 18-20 inch.
Yeah.
By the slice.
By the slice, okay, yeah.
What's that education process like? You guys, you don't automatically just know. Just because you're chefs, you don't know how to make pizza.
No. I mean, we've been working on it for years. I have like a crazy wood-fired backdoor kitchen that I've like, that it's like my dream kitchen.
So like a Neapolitan pizza than wood-fired?
Neapolitan style, but I run it at a lower temp. And so we did more of an artisan style at that cross between New York and Neapolitan. And that's our style now. We call it New York, but it is kind of a crossover between the two. The trick was that we didn't have a deck oven. We only had rationales. So we reached out to Garland, our rep at Garland Canada, and we said, listen, we need to do this. How can we do this? And without asking us for money or anything, right in the middle of the pandemic, Garland Canada sent us one of their new Lincoln conveyor ovens. So we had to then go from our wood fire to try and do the New York on this Lincoln oven. But,
and that's why we use the screens, because the dough is such high hydration, it's 80%. So we can't stretch that on anything but a screen. Like it just won't work, because it's almost, you can't even really handle it. It's so stretchy.
But then how did the Detroit come into the play? Because
luckily Detroit, we have two rationales, and we ended up fine tuning the Detroit with the rationales. And I think we pretty much nailed both. I think there's room for improvement, and we're learning every day. We were making little small tweaks and every day. Again, you know, this is something that we worked on for a few years. We had the dough recipe the way we wanted it, but now it was adapting it how we're going to be able to cook it with the equipment we have.
What's the pizza scene like in Calgary? Because I just don't know anything about it. I know a little bit about Toronto, a little bit about Montreal, nothing about Vancouver. We're west. What's Calgary's pizza scene like, I guess, pre-pandemic and now?
it's getting really great. There's places that are popping up that are focusing on the ingredients. For sure, there's still a lot of very value-driven places out there that, you know, maybe, you know, it's, you know, $2 a slice. But there's some really good ingredient-driven ones that are still priced appropriately, and it's really pizza for the people. So it's good to, that's what, for us, we didn't want it to be for the elite or for a certain amount of people. We wanted to be able to handle the volume and design it with the quality of the ingredients to be able to feed Calgarian.
This is a really exciting time to be in Calgary right now, because there is amazing pizza places popping up that are, like John said, doing amazing things with really good ingredients.
Yeah, I've been to Noble. They're also going to be on a future show too. We're going to talk to those. Is it Mike or? Yeah. Really impressive stuff. So does this mean that guests or customers are getting more accustomed to these different styles? Like, here's one of the things, like in Milwaukee, for example, there's a guy at Y East, we had him on the show a while ago. It's a difficult educational process because most people in the Midwest want that tavern style, thin and crispy square cut. He's doing a long ferment artisan. Is there an educational process here you have to go through in Calgary?
Yeah, there sure is. I mean, like everything, even char cut, when we showcase pighead mortadella, like, I don't want to eat a pighead, right? There becomes an education part. I think, like, some of the ingredients, like, we use SO pepperoni, and it's, you know, it's a traditional dry cured, higher salt content, gets really crispy. You know, the cup and char one gets that char around the ring.
But sometimes, like, we have complaints about salt, like with Ezo salty. Being salty, with our cheese being really, like, full fat and flavor. Sometimes, like, there is a ton of education, and that's all it is. I mean, Calgarians are really well-traveled. They're very educated when it comes to cuisine. And all it takes is some explaining, and then they're on board.
We had to make some tweaks, and we've evolved. Like our pepperoni, we do a lot of pepperoni on it, and it can be very salt forward with that amount of pepperoni. So we said, okay, well, let's do a half pepperoni pizza, where it's only half the amount of pepperoni for people that want less salt but still want a high quality ingredient.
We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna keep talking with John and Connie here at Connie and John's Pizzeria in Calgary. We're also going to preview some scenes from our next show coming up in 2 weeks, so stay with us. Welcome back to the show, everybody, here with John Jackson and Connie D'Souza of Connie and John's Pizzeria. Connie and John's Pizza, because you're wearing the hat here, in Calgary. And so, John, you pulled out a pan. Those look like, that's a really deep, is that a Lloyd pan?
Yes, they're Lloyd pans, yeah.
Very deep one. This is at a 10 by 14?
Yes. Okay. That's correct.
And I apologize, I can't do the conversion. I know you're probably doing metric, but I'm thinking inches. But
we do inches too, because we lived in the States for so long. So okay. Our cooks hate us when it comes to recipes, because it's a blend of them both.
Okay, so the flour, let's start there. What can you say what kind of flour you guys use?
We have a high gluten, that's our primary flour. We were looking for more flavor, and we introduced some of our Highwood Crossing. It's an organic, local whole wheat flour. A smaller amount, obviously, because we don't want that shorter crust. But it ends up creating an incredible wheaty flavor to it. The dough was the most important part, and it took about 3 years of a lot of flops until we hit the right amount.
Is that from Alberta?
It's from Alberta, yeah. Tony and Penny Marshall, just in Highwood, just like a half hour outside of Calgary.
Okay, and then you said a lot of hydration?
A lot of hydration, 80% hydration. Challenging to work with at first, but we learned some tricks and talked to some friends and figured out how to handle it.
Commercial yeast?
Yeah, fresh yeast.
Fresh yeast, okay. Bulk ferment, or how does that work?
Portion and then fridge ferment.
A couple days, one day?
24 hours, but we will take it another day.
And then you're gonna let it proof in the pan a bit?
Yeah, at least 2 hours, proofed in the pan. These might be a little bit longer, and they got shuffled around a bit, but they should work great.
Looking at the dough here, I can see little air bubbles. That's a nice sign. And the little bits of wheat in there, little whole grains, right?
Yeah, it's so good.
Never see that in Detroit. That's very interesting to see.
No, it really, like, we had so many taste tests at my house, and you know, at first it was way too much, and we had to scale back because, again, you still want that chew, right? So you don't want to shorten it too much, that gluten. So it's the exact amount that you still have that amazing weedy flavor, but you have that texture and the bubbles that you want.
So you don't do a par bake naked, you actually build on the dough.
We build on a dough, yeah. And oh. we are using a rationale for these ones, and it's great. We have it all programmed at our pizza restaurants, and you know, we can have 14 shells, 14 pies going at one time.
Cheese okay. first or?
Yeah, well, we do the edge first, so it's cheddar and just any little bits of scrap from our matzah when we slice our matzah. And I just go all along the edging, and any little holes, I just kind of push it in.
You talked about if you par bake it, you know, that dough will shrink a little bit. And then when you put it back in the pan to actually do this bake, you have the there's a crevice, there's a space in between the dough and the wall, so you yeah. can build a wall. But this, the dough is all the way up to the wall here.
Yeah, if you look at it, we have one right here. It ends up seeping down, so we end up getting a really nice crispy wall, and there are still little gaps, and you push it down in where the little gaps are, and then you just top it off, and we end up with a nice little cheesy crown all the way around the pizza. So.
And you don't feel like you have to adhere to the old school, the brick cheese that they used in Detroit back in the day from Wisconsin.
No, again, like we like things that are readily available here that are made here, we end up having our Canadian cheddar, but then we have also our Bothwell high fat content mozzarella, and we slice it mostly for saucing on our New Yorks, because we put all of our cheese first, and then when we sauce it, it's a lot easier to sauce on a sliced high fat than a grated or a cubed, because otherwise it's sticking to the ladle and you can't really move it around, and portion control.
Let's talk about the slices. These look like 5x7. I've never seen a slice that shape of a big rectangle.
Yeah, we buy them in big blocks, and yeah, we have our slicer, and we
and they're sliced thin. They're sliced really thin.
Yeah. For this, it's 8 slices.
Okay, so how are you gonna lay it down there? Just right in the middle. So he's leaving the shreds along the perimeter, and he's laying these long rectangles down, kind of in the middle.
I'm gonna come in with sauce.
Tell me about your sauce. Where's it from? Where your tomatoes from?
So we use the Strainey's San Marzano DOP tomatoes. It's a Jersey-style sauce, so it's got a lot of tomato paste in it, dried oregano, black pepper, salt, some sugar. And we put it on in 4 rows here, like you can see. And we're putting it on underneath our toppings, which I know is different for Detroit. I know Detroit, they always put it on after and they put it on cold. But like John said, we did a bunch of tests, and this is how we like to eat it. So
4 long strips down the middle, or across, I should say, the long ways.
Yeah.
And then now this is the Izzo pepperoni from Columbus, Ohio. Yeah.
So we started out with 120 slices, was on every single pizza. But like we said, we did get a couple salt complaints, so we scaled it back to about 87 grams per pizza we're talking now. And we do, you'll see how meticulously I'm laying these out. This is all hand done, every single pizza. So yes, it's going to take a little bit of time to make these pies, but there's a lot of TLC in this. John and I have developed a gluten-free crust that I'm gonna say this, some people might not agree, but I'm gonna say that I think it's the best in the city. And we make it all in-house by scratch. I'm not gonna tell you the recipe because it is a secret.
And it took a long time.
But what's unique about our gluten-free crust is that you can get it with either style of pizza. So you can get it Detroit, you can get it with our New York, and when you do order it with the New York, we are stretching it to the full 16 inch, which is very unusual for ordering a GF crust in the city. Most people are pre-purchasing them, and they only come in 12 inch, so you still get the full Connie and John's pizza experience if you can't have gluten.
John's going back now with the shreds.
Do a little bit on top. We found this kind of just helps stick all the pepperoni together. You don't get a bunch that fall off.
I will say it's nice to see for a change, because we're in a different country, different tomatoes. A lot of times you see the Stanislaus, the Alta Cucinas, Tomato Magic. I'm Donnie Malozzi in Montreal uses a different type of tomato I'd never seen before. Strianese, Strianese is what you're using here. These San Marzanos, very cool. Okay, so then into the oven, yeah. Into your rationale. What about temp? Can you give me a Fahrenheit?
450 Fahrenheit for 12 to 14 minutes.
Quick musical interlude. We'll come back when the pizza's done. Hey, while we're waiting for the pizza to bake, I want to ask you guys a question. You know, a lot of partnerships don't work. I've seen a lot of best friends from childhood, or they met at a, they were staging and they went into business together, and they've all gone south. How do you guys, how many years have you been working together?
Since 1999, Connie was 7 years old.
John loves telling that joke.
It's funny. No, we work together. Oh, hang on.
So John and I, have been working together since 1999. He actually started out as my chef and mentored me through my entire culinary career until we became co-chefs when we opened up Char Cut in Calgary. And I can count on one hand how many serious fights we've had. And I think just like we know each other's dynamics so well. We know what each other's thinking half the time. And it's so awesome having a co-chef to collaborate with, to travel with.
You know, I could be having a really bad day and it's my turn. Then she knows that she has to bring me up. And the same thing, she's having a bad day. Then I know, okay, well, now I need to help you out.
Pizza's out of the oven. God, it looks great. Cup and char in effect for sure. Those look pretty thin. Is that a typical thickness of those guys? I didn't even look.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, they're thin, crispy. There's a little chew still in a lot of the center, but a lot of them are really nice, delicious, crispy. And we got the lower sugar one, so it's not, you don't have that char darkness, especially with the longer bake time, they would be all black.
Yeah, so do you let this sit typically, or do you want to get it out of the pan and like onto a cooling rack? Like, what's your philosophy here?
Yeah, I mean, normally we get it out and we send it on its way.
Okay.
Right into the box and gone.
Beautiful. Look at that perimeter. Yep, that's at least an inch on the upper edge of the crust. Yep, and the bottom is a little bit lighter. And we're going to look at the undercarriage in a second here. I'm going to show me underneath. Yeah, oh, nice and golden brown. Okay. I've had a few pizzas in my career. I'm going to say it's that the whole grain, whole wheat, the secret here, really makes a huge difference in the chew and the flavor. There's a, like a little bit of a nuttiness, a subtle nuttiness to this as you eat it, which you never get any Detroit style anywhere. So it's that, you're, this is like the Detroit terroir, the sort of Alberta flour that we're having, right?
For sure. I mean, the dough is like one of the most important parts of it. So let it shine. How do you, I just don't want it to be the vessel that carries the meat, the sauce, the cheese. It should have a flavor, it should have an identity, and having that weedy undertone to it, that nuttiness like you talked about, I think that was when we went, aha.
A little bit of crumb in there, but a little bit of fermentation, that's really nice to see. And Connie, I mean, just despite the 80 plus grams of pepperoni on there, the OBR, you know, that optimal bite ratio is still in effect. You've got crust cheese sauce topping in every bite. It's not the kind of place you have to order a half dough, you know, or necessarily a half pepperoni. I think the saltiness is the right proportion here. So you guys are happy with this ratio.
Yeah, and it's just, it makes you crave it.
Yeah, totally. All right, final question we ask all our guests on the show. Knowing what you know about pizza making now, what would you have told your younger selves, maybe, I guess, pre-pandemic, to be successful with the pizza game?
Don't be afraid of hydration. Just keep going with the water.
John?
Well, that was totally mine.
Of course it was.
It is true. Like, as chefs, we feel like there's no way that this can work with when we have the hydration at the level we do. More technology. I mean, like, because we have different ovens, we don't have a traditional deck oven. We're using a rationale, and we're using the new Lincoln oven. Don't be afraid of testing it and seeing and comparing the two, because we were really surprised the quality that you can achieve through that innovation of equipment.
Because you're not baking on a stone. I mean, there's stone energy is not going into the bottom of the pan, and yet you're still getting a good undercarriage.
Yeah, that's it. And then testing, and comparing it, and just being, you know, confident that the quality is there, then, I mean, the oven takes away a lot of the guessing game. We can program it. We can have multiple pizzas in at one time. There's not a lot of checking. So, again, it allows us to be able to grow.
The restaurant, again, is called Connie and John's Pizza. Two locations, soon to be a third, here in Calgary. I pronounced it correctly. It's Calgary. John Jackson, Connie D'Souza. Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, coming up in 2 weeks, we are staying in Calgary, talking to one of the buzziest pizza places in town, where I visited twice the week I was there.
I think I took things very slow and was very calculated and really did reach out to people that inspired me to find out some things that would save time in my journey.
I'll talk with Mike Lang, the owner of Noble Pie. That's in 2 weeks on November 10th. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Tell a friend and rate us, please. Also, reminder to support the show at anchor.fm/pizzacity. We're at Pizza City USA on Instagram, and our website is pizzacityusa.com. Bureaucratic wrote and performed our theme song, and here's wishing you an optimal bite ratio always.